Now you should listen to this, because this concerns you.
This is about a evil genius in love.
Headed for the door. And I wouldn't walk through anymore. And if I never ever woke again.
Hello, friends and neighbors. It's me. It's Dave Slusher. This is the Evil Genius Chronicles. It is December 15th, 2006, and this is show number 193, and I'm glad to be here. It's a rare morning show, so I've got morning voice, but we'll get through this together, just like everything. First, the business. You're listening to the music of the Gentle Readers. The Gentle Readers are at gentlereaders.com. Very fine Christmas or Hanukkah gifts would be a Gentle Readers CD. I gave one away last night at the company Christmas party. Hopefully will be very much loved by the person who received it, thegentlereaders.com. Thank you for another year of the Gentle Readers. Show is Creative Commons, non-commercial attribution licensed. If you want to use any portion of this, obviously not the music, but any of my portions, under those strictures, go to it. Non-commercial attribution. Have at it. Show's not work safe. Show's not kid safe. Let's get going. By permission, Jill Sobule, the fine musician, has allowed me to use her music in the podcast, and I'm going to play one of my favorite holiday songs of all time. The song rocks. I mean, literally, and it rocks figuratively in terms of its message. This is from Jill's holiday album, It's the Thought That Counts. This is Jill Sobule with Jesus Was a Dreidel Spinner.
Jesus was a dreidel spinner, and this we can't forget. Paul was Saul before he was Paul, and the Last Supper was a Seder. Jesus was a dreidel spinner, and all his disciples were too. So all you Christians, remember, your Lord was a Jew. So like the menorah, tints of a tree, give thanks to the wise man.
Jill Sobule, Jesus Was a Dreidel Spinner. And while we're on the holiday subject,
in a world where Christmas sometimes gets disturbed, Santa may have to cancel Christmas this year.
All right, everyone, I have an announcement to make. I just don't see how we're going to be able to pull this off. I'm afraid Christmas is canceled this year.
Lucky the reindeer and his friend Herbert set out on an epic journey to find themselves.
Herbert, it's time to go.
Yeah, let's go home.
No. I mean, it's time for us to find the Island of the Misfit Geeks.
December 18th, visit friendsintech.com for the Christmas special. Lucky the Reindeer and the Island of Misfit Geeks. Are you feeling lucky? Well, are ya, geek? This is a Friends in Tech production.
All right, I love the Friends in Tech. They've been a good friend of the show over time. A big chunk of the membership of that. It's a fairly loose confederation, as I understand it. But, man, I love the Friends in Tech. And I note that I was a voice in the one last year, and I wasn't asked back. I don't know if that's related to my performance as such, or if, I don't know, maybe I'm no longer marketable as a guest voice. Sounded like Brent Bashoko from Dr. Floyd is one of the voices in that. We'll have to check that out. That's becoming a new media podcast era tradition. It's the Friends in Tech Christmas special. So looking forward to that. But there is an oxymoron in there that I heard, which is the Island of Misfit Geeks. That seems to be, or not oxymoron, it seems fairly superfluous. A little redundancy there. Is a misfit geek really actually necessary? Don't they kind of go together? Doesn't one imply the other, shall we say? So let's get on to the business. As I said, this is early in the morning. Normally, I would be recording this at evening or night. This is one of those before I go to work because the holiday time social schedule is so packed. There's no production time in it. It's one of those things where I've mentioned before the when the time between episodes gets too large, I just get itchy. And that's actually a dangerous time because you just want to go in and record something. And that's where you have, I think, the greatest risk of recording a bullshit show. And so I'm trying to, I sense that that's possible, and I'm trying to avoid it. Don't think about the white horse. You know, it's one of those deals. Don't think about screwing up. I'm going to talk a little about war and Christmas. Because this is, of course, War on Christmas season, one of my favorite seasons of the year. And, you know, the whole, even the term, I don't know who coined it originally, but I think of it as a very Fox Newsy term because it's basically, I think, Bill O'Reilly and John Gibson and Sean Hannity, those types, who are the ones who I think if it weren't for them, nobody else would even notice there was such a thing as a War on Christmas because I've been doing the same activities that they call the War on Christmas. The same kind of mindset is how I've been kind of living my life since I was, say, 18 or 19. But I use a different terminology, which is to be considerate and not a prick, which is the acknowledgement that not everybody that I interact with on a daily basis is necessarily Christian and follows these holidays and, you know, participates in them. Which is when I left the farm, when I left Kansas and ended up going to college in Atlanta, Georgia, I found out that my first Christmas there that some fraction of the people that I met were in fact not Christian. Some were, and I couldn't necessarily tell by looking at them. And these were not necessarily people I knew really, really well. Some were Jewish, you know. It's like, hey, some of these people, they're Hindu. Some of them are Buddhist. And that's when I began wishing everybody happy holidays. And in fact, I never get cards with the word Christmas in them. I get cards with the word holidays because that way I can send them to people who aren't Christian and it's a well wish. Hey, I'm thinking about you. And, you know, the whole notion of war on Christmas, to me on both sides, there's a axiom, I think of SMTP protocol, the mail protocol, which was be rigorous in what you send out and be liberal in what you accept. And I think that's a good way to live your life. And that's a good way to deal with the whole war on Christmas, which is, you know, be careful about what you say and give people the benefit of a doubt of what they say to you. I don't know anybody who... Now bear in mind, too, none of these people really get worked up if I wish them Merry Christmas. And I don't mind if somebody wishes me, I don't know, happy Ramadan or happy Hanukkah. It doesn't bother me. Just in the same way, to be honest, I don't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. So for me, Merry Christmas is no different than Happy Solstice. It's the same thing. You know, I don't have any brand loyalty to anyone's imaginary friends. It's all the same to me. But what I do care about is friends and family and, you know, warmth. And to me, that's the part of the holiday season that actually matters. And I've said this before. Probably I've said this every Christmas since I began doing this podcast. That if you are, say, a Bill O'Reilly type, and you take umbrage at the fact that somebody tells you Happy Holidays instead of the more specific Merry Christmas, you are just the biggest cocksucker alive. Anybody that denies a well wish coming in because they did not get the well wish in the exact terminology they want, that is somebody that does not deserve your warm regards. So anybody who thinks there is a war on Christmas needs to just fuck off. Those are the people who don't deserve whatever it was you were trying to give them that made them so mad. They should just secede from the whole thing. So I think that's pretty much all I have to say on that. Is to me, anyone who thinks there's a war on Christmas is a prick. The end. End of story. And for the rest of you, happy holidays. Also want to talk about John Udell. There was some kind of blogosphere. I don't know if there's any podosphere buzz because I'm about a month behind in most of my podcast listening. I had kind of a... And what's funny is I've been a steady month behind for about 4 months because I had a month where everything went nuts and I didn't really listen to much stuff. And so because I've been a geek and kind of listening first in, first out, I'm listening to the old shows first and I've never really caught up. So I subscribe to about exactly as much stuff as I can listen. But when there's a hitch in that, I just, whatever ground I lose, I stay behind that far. So maybe over the holidays I'll catch up a little bit. But I'm also, in the same way that some people who get a TiVo start working for the TiVo, like, oh man, I got a lot of stuff I got to watch. I try not to feel that way about new media. Like, oh, I've got this backlog of podcasts. I've really got to crack down and do it. It's not a job. It's not like my part-time second job. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. And if it's not, then, you know, maybe you need to readdress your own particular relation to the media. But so John Udell is leaving InfoWorld, where I don't know how long he's been there. It's been a long time. He's going to Microsoft to essentially be like in the evangelist role of Robert Scoble, who outside of, say, Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, for a while there, Robert Scoble was probably the most well-known Microsoft employee after those guys. And he was pretty, you know, he's middle management, right? He was like an, I don't remember his exact term, but his exact title, but he was in the evangelism marketing department there. He did Channel 9 and 10, and he's doing similar things for Podtech now, but John Udell is kind of going into his department, maybe not in his exact job, but in a similar role, and doing his John Udell kind of... John Udell is the kind of pundit I really like. He and Doc Searles on the Gilmore Gang were the two that really kind of... whose voices and opinions really matter to me. And what I really like about John Udell is he's kind of a geek, and he talks about these issues, but he is a sleeve-rolled-up geek. So he doesn't just kind of... Most of the talk on the Gilmore Gang was fairly theoretical, and, you know, and fairly at the press release level. And John would be the person who said, well, you know, the press release said that these were available, you know, in this program language or in this product. And here's what I found from testing it out for a couple days. And so he always knew what he was talking about. And I posted on the weblog the other day about how he did an interview with one of the guys from University of Michigan who's digitizing their entire library. And I thought that was one of the most fascinating talks I've heard in a long time, because I care about ebooks, I care about literature. The kind of universal access to digitized literature is an issue that matters to me. And I thought that one was fantastic. And then the most recent one that John did was, essentially he did an interview with himself, which is a little weird, describing why he was going to Microsoft. But see, now after all this goes, John has a problem with his podcast. And this is a fairly common problem that happens to a lot of people, which is John's URL is, you know, infoworld.com/Udell or something like that. John has done, all this stuff that John has been doing is under the InfoWorld brand, you know, and in their Earl space. And now John's moving on. What happens to all that? Are they going to be nice enough to redirect him to Microsoft? I don't know. That's a problem. That's one of those things. If you're thinking about setting up a podcast, it's one of those things to think up ahead of time and get yourself like a feed URL that is not going to change. It might be worth it to register your own domain name and to, you know, if you are with Libsyn, you may not always be with Libsyn. You might want to change to a different hosting service. So if you get everyone to subscribe to your Libsyn URL, well, that might change. And then I have changed my URL a few times, and that actually costs you a little bit because now it fragments it. And so things that count subscribers and they do the top whatever list, you're not going to show up on that. It doesn't matter so much to me, but it might matter to you. And so if you've got five different URLs, you're going to split your listeners. And, you know, you're not going to show up at the correct place in that because most people don't bundle them. It's just going to be a big pain in the ass. So get yourself a nice URL that you control, even if you're just kind of cutting and pasting or redirecting from that URL to the Libsyn URL. As far as anyone knows, they're subscribing to your URL in their podcatcher, in you know, in iTunes or in Juice or iPodRx or whatever. And that's something that's kind of important. But anyway, congratulations to John Udell. He is a mensch. I really dig him. I like his work. And honestly, with him leaving InfoWorld, I get one of those free subscriptions to it in response for filling out a fairly painful survey. They say once a year, but every 3 months that they're asking me to fill it out again, I'm just going to stop filling out the survey. We'll see how long it takes for the magazine to go away. If he's not in it, I don't know that I even care. He was essentially the tipping point for me to continue filling out that god-awful survey every couple months, or how I would usually not fill it out until I get the magazine with the wrapper around it said, your subscription is about to stop. All right, it's basically playing magazine subscription chicken with them. It's like, all right, I dare you. Unsubscribe me. Do what you're going to do. All right, enough on that. I believe I have some more stuff, but I think these topics, I'm just going to stop it here. We'll play another song, and then I'll tell a little story before the song, and then we'll call it done. How about that? How about that? I'll give you a break. This will not be a 45-minute episode. So the story is this. My wife did a postdoc at Northwestern, and there was a guy that she met one day, and his whole deal was he's a gregarious guy. He's a very, very gregarious guy, and he tries to make a point of every single day meeting a new person, just a stranger. And so he'll walk up to strangers and meet them and get their story and introduce himself, and he does this every day. And one day, she happened to be walking by and was it. Well, he was a graduate student, I think still is a graduate student at Northwestern, got his bachelor's degree at Georgia Tech. Well, that's where she went, that's where I went. And got to talking about that. This guy is as a kind of an entertainment hub. You know, he's like a cruise director for his circle of friends. He, like once a month, would host a soup night at his house where they'd make different kinds of soup and people would get together. And I went to it one time. I'm going to this party of somebody, at the time I had never met him, walking into this party of strangers. As it happened, one of his Georgia Tech friends was there. It was a guy I knew from WREK, the radio station. His name is Mac, he used to be the operations manager of the radio station when I was doing some stuff for him as an alumnus. So, you know, I always like the fact that I seem to have kind of it'll be a little lower on the Kevin Bacon scale. It usually takes fewer hops for me to get to a lot of people. I don't know why this is, but the walking into a random party in Evanston of people I don't know, and I know someone, that to me was always cool. Now, the point of all this story is that guy, Clark, the original guy, the Northwestern grad student, is in an a cappella band, and I didn't know. The a cappella band's been going on a while, and even when we were in Chicago, this was going on, and I didn't know about it back then. But they got an a cappella band of geek songs, so think kind of Jonathan Coulton, but if it were pure mathematics, that really floated his boat. So I'm going to play you a song that they've got up on their website. The name of the group is the Klein 4 Group. Now, if you're a mathematician, or you know that's mathematics, which I don't, that's rip-roaringly funny. I don't know. So this the joke might be lost on some or more of us. I catch some, but not all of the jokes here in this song. So let's play this. This is Finite Simple Group of Order 2. The name of the band is The Klein Four. Let's go.
The path of love is never smooth, but mine's continuous for you. You're the upper bound in the chains of my heart. You're my axiom of choice, you know it's true. But lately our relation's not so well defined, and I just can't function without you. I'll prove my proposition, and I'm sure you'll find we're a finite, simple group of order two. I'm losing my identity. I'm getting tenser every day. And without loss of generality, I will assume that you feel the same way. Since every time I see you, you just close your doubt, the faithful image that I map into. But when we're one-to-one, you'll see what I'm about, 'cause we're a finite, simple group of order two. Our equivalence was stable, a principle love bundle sitting deep inside. But then you drove a wedge between our two forms. Now everything is so complex it fights. We first met, we simply connected. My heart was open but too dense. Our system was already directed to have a finite limit in some sense. I'm living in the kernel of a rank one map. From my domain its image looks so blue, 'cause all I see are zeros, it's a cruel trap. But we're a finite simple group of order two. I'm not the smoothest operator in my class, but we're a mirror pair, me and you and me. So let's apply forgetful functors to the past and be a finite simple group. Be a finite simple group. Let's be a finite simple group of order two.
Why not three?
Sorry. I've proved my proposition now, as you can see. So let's both be associative and free. And by corollary, this shows you and I to be purely inseparable. QED.
All right, so one of the nice things about that being the live performance there in front of people who get the jokes is if you're not sure what is a joke, you can tell by where the audience laughs, which is kind of where I was. I got maybe 50%, maybe fewer of the jokes, but it was still pretty funny, so I liked that a lot. That was the Klein Four Group, and all of these, all this music will be linked in the show notes. Thank you for listening. Let's wrap this up. One of the beautiful things about my hipster PDA is I always did my show notes on 3x5 cards because they're very convenient. You can hold them in your hand easily. They don't rattle when you move them around like a piece of paper does. And so I carry now a card that is the next show I'm going to record, and it's always in my hipster PDA. And so like right now when I find a spontaneous window of time in which I can do a show, I just whip out the card and the show agenda is already set. It's kind of beautiful. I love the hipster PDA. Thank you, Merlin Mann. I give thanks to you this holiday season, to Merlin Mann of 43 Folders, for his stupid hipster PDA idea, which is kind of revolutionizing my life. So thank you for listening. The show notes will be up at evilgeniuschronicles.org. If you got any feedback, send it to dslusher@gmail.com. I've gotten some feedback I'm going to read, but I decided reading the email and responding to it is going to take too long, and we'll do that next time. So that just rolls off the agenda from this one to the next one. Sorry, Zgat. We'll get into it next time. It might be slightly contentious. So there might be the pop. I get stirred up next time. You want another nerd fight? Me and Zgat are going to nerd fight on the next show. So thank you for listening. And oh, by the way, happy holidays. Bye.